Blessing.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. In Jesus' name, we praise God for being here on another Saturday morning, afternoon. We are being listened to around the world, so we want to say thank you. For every single person that is listening to the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name on this wonderful Saturday in Jesus' name. And if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed in Jesus' name, not because you're hearing my voice, because my voice means nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. Because you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God praise on today in Jesus' name. As I say it again, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle in Jesus' name. This is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. God bless you. Amen. On today, we have a phenomenal topic today. We were not here last week, and I love being here. I really love being doing this every Saturday, and we were not here, but I was kind of sad to not be here last week, but I was able to get a little bit of rest. Amen. So I thank God, even though I was sad and not.
Amen.
Not being here, but I still thank God for not being here, so I was able to give me some rest, but I thank God for it in Jesus' name. But on today, we're going to be talking about a topic that is very, very powerful and very, very needful on today. And we're going to be talking about the identity of Christ. Yep, I said it. The identity of Christ. And if we could subtitle this topic, it would be Step Into the Identity of Christ. This is a two-part thing. One, the identity of Christ. And two, us as believers stepping into the identity of Christ. So we're going to be talking about that today. We're going to look at the identity of Christ and who God is. Who is God? What is he to us? What is he to himself? And we're going to see what the statues of God are, because that's a part of his identity. And then we're going to look at how do we as believers step into the identity of Christ and why we need to step into the identity of Christ. So if I could start off, I'm going to say this. In the beginning of time, in the beginning of creation, God created, as we all know, we read Genesis, and I'm going to start there. If we look in the Word of God, we see the identity of Christ in the first words of the Word of God. In the beginning, God. That is letting us know that God is here. God has made his entrance
But he has made his interest in, he has made his entrance, as we read in Genesis 1 and 1. God has made his entrance unto us, letting us know who he is in the spirit realm. As we see in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we know that the Old Testament is Christ concealed. The New Testament is considered as Christ revealed. When we look at Genesis 1 and 1, it reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, we see that God introduced himself in his own word. He showed us who he was. He showed us his power. He showed us that he is all powerful. This is the identity of Christ in the spirit, showing us that he can move, that we know the verse that, and we know the songs of him moving mountains and him, you know, doing all, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, we all know this. But in Genesis 1 and 1, we are introduced to that. Amen? We are introduced to the power of God, because it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, you have to have power to create heaven and earth. God had to have power to create heaven and earth. Now, watch this. Now, this is God's identity for us to see his identity in the spirit, in the word of God, through the word of God, which we read. We see the identity of God in the spirit. Now, watch this. When we go to John chapter 1, verse 1, we look at God's identity also in the spirit, because he's showing us. And when we go down to verse 14, we see his identity in the natural. But this identity is one identity. He is the identity in the spirit. He is the identity in the earth. So let's go there real quick. Let's see. I'm going to read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then I'm going to drop down to verse 14 and 15. Amen. We're going to look at this, and we're going to look at the identity of Christ. And you might say, well, Minister Adam, Genesis 1 and 1 said God created the heavens and the earth. We are in, as people of God, when you read the first of that, that is us being introduced to the identity of Christ in the spirit. Now watch this. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word," and this is just clarifying what Genesis 1 and 1 said, "In the beginning, God." It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, what does this mean? This is showing his identity in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, because both parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament, are the identity of God. This is the Old Testament is Christ concealed, and the New Testament is Christ revealed. Now watch this. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." We saw that in Genesis 1 and 1, "In the beginning, God." Now watch this. "And the Word was with God." We know that the Word was with God because in Genesis 1 and 1, it says God created the heavens and the earth. Only God had the power to create the heavens and the earth. The Word was with God. Once the Word spoke, once God spoke, if we look through the signs of creation, if we read through Genesis, he just spoke it into existence. The word was speaking words, and it came to pass. Amen? So when we look at this, the word, it says, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Now watch this. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. These three verses are showing us, this is backing up Genesis 1 and 1. And all through, when we read through the creation, when we see his power being manifested through the signs of his creation, from the trees and the animals and even us as human beings, him creating Adam. We see his power being manifested, the identity of God. We see his power being manifested. This is all part of the identity of God because it's a part of him. Amen. Now watch this. Verse number 4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, when he created Adam, he breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils. The Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the what? The life. Amen. In him you'll find life. This is part of the identity of God. Now watch this. And this is what the Lord just showed me. The only way for us to step into the identity of Christ, the only way for us to have true life is to step into the identity of Christ, because life lies in the identity of Christ. Now, you might be walking around. You might be a person that's been walking around here not believing in God, or you might be on the fence with your relationship with God. But let me tell you something. Without Christ in your life, you are really not living. A person is really not living without their relationship with God. Now, you have to have a relationship with him to be able to live. Now, you might say, well, God wakes me up every day. Yes, he does. There's two reasons why he wakes us up every day. There's two reasons. Number one, and this is the main reason. This is the main reason. When you wake up every day, you woke up today, you woke up yesterday, if you do not have a relationship with God, that is a blessing. And even if you do have a relationship with God, you're still blessed when you wake up every day. But it's a bigger blessing if you don't have a relationship with God. It's a bigger blessing to wake up, because God is giving you a chance to get it right with him. He's giving you just another day. And this is not in my notes. This is from the Lord himself. I don't know who this is for, but every day you wake up, and every day we wake up, and every day that we've fallen by the wayside, or if we fail and we haven't repented for what we fail over, and we wake up another day, God has given us a chance to get it right, because the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, which means don't you leave up out of here. Don't go a day without getting it right. I don't know who this is for. Some of us are not in the identity of Christ like we need to be. Some of us don't even know the true identity of God. And when I say that, because you might say, well, I'm saved. If you saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to who I'm talking to. And I'm gonna say it that I say it that way because there are some people that think that they know the identity of God, and they say, "Well, I know God," but yet you say you know God. You say you know Jesus. You say you know him, but yet you're using other things to meet your desires. You're using things of the world to try to please those desires that you have. And you can't do that. You really, if you knew the identity of God, you wouldn't have to go to Sally Sue to get contentment. Bruh, you wouldn't have to go, to Sarah. Woman of God, you wouldn't have to go to Brad over there. You wouldn't have to go to that liquor bottle. You wouldn't have to go to this drug over here because you really know the identity of God. And when you step into the identity of God, when a person has truly into the identity of God, you know who you are and you know whose you are. When you have stepped into the identity of God. Now watch this. Now, this was God showing his identity in the spirit. Now watch this. We read verse 4. In him was life, and the life was made, and the life was the light of men. Verse number 5 says, and the light shineth in darkness. The light shineth in darkness. This was a dark, dark world that we live in. This is a dark, dark world that we live in. And I'm not talking about naturally. I'm talking about spiritually. Spiritually, the world is in utter darkness. When Jesus came onto the scene, even when God was manifesting himself in the spirit realm, the world was in darkness. We can look at the children of Israel. We can look at Pharaoh as an example. Jesus, what God put his light in Moses. And when I say he put his light in Moses, he put a work down in Moses to show, hey, look, I'm real. I live. He told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And all the signs that God did in front of Pharaoh's eyes, but yet Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. So hardened that it took a whole lot of things for God to do unto the Egyptians to allow Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go. Because Pharaoh's heart was so hardened, he didn't believe, even though it was in front of him. And we have people on this earth that are that way right now, that do not know the true identity of God. Now, let me say this. God has a name, and his name is Jesus. You might say, well, God, that's why when we preach Jesus, when we preach God, God and Jesus are the same person. And God gave it to me like this. He gave it to me like this. He said, Adam, why does my people have a problem with me having a name? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, what do you mean, God? There is only one true and living God. But there's many false gods. But why is it that all of these false gods have names, but when it comes to the name of Jesus, people have a hard time with it? People have a hard time with it. Some even in the church. Some in the church. They don't believe. Some in the church and even some outside the church don't believe that Jesus and God are one. Some don't believe that. Some believe that they're going to see two and three and four different individuals. That's not so. That's not so. In the identity of God, it shows us in the Word of God who He is. It shows who He is in the Spirit, and it shows who He is in the natural. That's why He is omnipresent. He is the only person that can be omnipresent. When that body was on the earth, He was yet in heaven. And you might say, well, how can He be in heaven and yet be on the earth? Because He's God. He's the only true and living God. And he powerful like that. I was gonna say He bad like that, but He powerful like that. Now, if we look in verse number 14, it shows us who God is in the natural. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This verse 14, was talking about Jesus. We have scripture to show that God is Jesus. I ain't gonna say God and Jesus because it's the same person. I'm gonna say God is Jesus. That's His name. That's who God's name is. Is Jesus. Because when we look in Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go ye therefore baptizing, or teaching and preaching and baptizing in the name." It didn't say names. It said name of. We know who the Father is. If God is the Father, Father is not a name. Son is not a name. And this is all in the identity of, and they're all in the identity of Christ. When we look at the word Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, when we look at these three words, and it comes out of Matthew 28:19. When we look at these three words, these are different titles given unto Christ. But it's not the identity of Christ. It is the titles unto the identity of Christ. Father is not a name. Son is not a name. Holy Ghost is not a name. But what Jesus was saying, this in Matthew 28:19, was the Great Commission. Now, you might say, well, Jesus, Brother Adam, what is the Great Commission? What is that? For the ones that don't know, the Great Commission was Jesus commanding His disciples to teach, preach, and baptize in His name. He was commanding His disciples to teach, to preach, and to baptize in the name of Jesus. This is what they did. They preached in the name of Jesus. They taught in the name of Jesus. They preached in the name of Jesus. They taught in the name of Jesus, and they baptized in the name of Jesus. They just did what God told them to do. Let me share something with y'all. Something that the Lord shared with me. God is not stupid. God's not dumb. He knew from the Old Testament which we read, and this is the reason why I use Moses. Moses's hardship with Pharaoh, and I say hardship because he went through a test with Pharaoh. Dealing with him, trying to get the children of Israel free, that was a hardship with Moses, for Moses. That was a test. That was a big test. Nonetheless, dealing with the children of Israel, he ain't even dealt with the children of Israel yet. They ain't even started moving to the promised land yet. He's just dealing with Pharaoh trying to get them out of Egypt. He ain't even got to the hard part yet. But this is a test. But what I'm saying is, when we look at the identity of Christ, we have to look at the identity of Christ to be able to step into the identity of Christ. Because if we don't know what the identity of Christ is, how do we know what we're stepping into? How do we know? If we don't learn about the identity of Christ. Amen. So in verse 15, and we're still in the book of John, St. John, it said, John bears witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. Amen. He that cometh after me, amen, preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, John's sitting over here saying that he was after me. He's talking about Jesus, but yet he said he was before me. Okay, so what does that mean? What does this mean? He had to have the, John had to get the revelation from somewhere. He knew that God manifested himself in flesh. God wrapped his spirit in flesh. And John knew that flesh that was standing before him was God. And that God was in that flesh. And that flesh was named Jesus. This is why verse 14 said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He knew what was standing before him. He knew the identity of God. He knew who the identity of Christ was. That's where, when Jesus told Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. That's why when he asked, who do man say that I am? Some say you are Elijah. Some say, you know, some say this and some say that. But Peter said, you are God. And he began to tell Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, which means the natural has not revealed this unto you. It was the Spirit of God that revealed this unto you. How? Why? Because it was his Spirit from the beginning of time that revealed this unto you. And that's where he said, that's why he told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The same thing that happened with Peter happened with John. He saw the identity of Christ. He knew who Christ was, just like Peter did. Just like Peter did. He knew who he was. He knew who and what was standing before him. Peter knew exactly who was standing before him. Let's go to 1 Timothy. Amen. I want to go to 1 Timothy real quick. The Lord is having me break this down, and And I love breaking down the Word of God as best as the Lord gives it to me, because I don't like breaking it down by myself. Because when you break it down by yourself, you end up messing up. With the help of the Lord, I don't take this lightly. You should never, ever take the Word of God, breaking down the Word of God lightly. That's why it says, study to show thyself approved. Amen. Now watch this. We read St. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and verse 14 and 15. But I want you to stay focused on John chapter 1, verse 14, because watch this. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Now watch this. God was manifested in the flesh. There you go. John 1 and 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 14. Now we see it over here in 1 Timothy. Now we see it in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Now, let's break this down. Justified in the spirit. He was justified in the spirit. He was yet in the spirit, but yet he was in the flesh. He was seen of angels. He was yet in heaven, but yet on the earth. Uh-oh. Preached unto the Gentiles. Anybody that's not a full-born blood Jew is a Gentile. I'm a Gentile. You're a Gentile. We have heard the word of God. So that statement right there, preached unto the Gentiles, is true. Believe on in the world. We're in the world. We believe on him, right? That's true. Received up into glory. Who was the one that was received up into glory? Jesus. He's coming back again. He wouldn't be coming back again if he wasn't received up into glory first. Amen. At the end, in Matthew 28, the end, he was received up into glory. They went gazing up into the disciples was gazing up at the sky waiting. And why are you waiting? Wait, what are you doing? Why are you just standing there? Why are you just standing there? And I'm paraphrasing y'all. Why are you just standing there? Go ahead and do the work that God has called for you to do. We have to understand. We have to understand the identity of Christ before we go preaching the identity of Christ. Amen. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5. I want to go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse number 7. Because I loved it. I love doing this. I love doing this. When the Holy Ghost gets to moving, I just move with the Holy Ghost. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse number 7. This is where I want to read this real quick. Because there's a lot of people that say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They think that they're going to see, this is where the word, and it's in the word is man-made. It's not in the Bible. The word Trinity. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. You can't find it nowhere. You're not going to be able to find it. And anybody that finds, I will bring anybody on this show, and if you could find the word Trinity in the Bible, I will give you all of my paycheck. I'll give it all to you. But you ain't going to be able to find it nowhere. But you can find the word Holy Ghost. But I can give you evidence that Jesus, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one right here in St. John chapter 5, verse starting at verse number 7. And it reads, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one." I have said this before. Anytime Jesus referred himself, he always referred himself as one. You might say, well, when he was on the cross and he said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why hast thou forsaken me?" He wasn't referring to himself because he was on the cross, Brother Adam. He was referring to the Spirit. See, he was yet in the flesh, but yet he was in the Spirit. Because he can do that. Spirit of God, as we read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Now, we see this in Matthew 28:19. There's three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. You say, well, how in the world do we see this in Matthew 28:19? Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It tells us right here that these three are one. These three different titles belong to Jesus. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost belong to Jesus. He's the Father, he's the Son, and yet he is the Holy Ghost. If God is the Father and God was manifested in the flesh, he's Jesus. That's the Father. Now, let's look at the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Son. That was the Son right there. That body was considered as the Son. He was talking about the body. That body that died on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He was giving a body. He was giving a sacrifice for the world. That body was the sacrifice. And the reason why he called it the Son, because Jesus' conception was different than ours. He was calling that body the Son because that body that was conceived was different than our conception. Our conception, we both have a mother and a father that came together and had us. But Jesus' conception was different because he had no natural man in the middle of it. We had a natural mother and we had a natural father that came together and conceived us. We were conceived from our mother's womb because our mother and our father came together and had us. But Jesus' conception was different. Jesus had a natural mother, but he didn't have, yes, we know Joseph, that Jesus' natural father, he had a natural father on the earth, but they were, Mary and Joseph, they did not come together like that to have Jesus. Jesus' conception He was put in, the body was put into that womb of a virgin. That little baby Jesus was put into Mary's womb. In other words, Joseph and Mary didn't have sex to have Jesus. If they did, Jesus would be considered in sin. Why? Because if we look in Psalms, David said that from my in sin did my mother conceive me. And Jesus wouldn't have been able to die because he would have had sin on him already. And nobody, only Jesus, could die for the sins of mankind because he was that ultimate sacrifice. So the Spirit of God created a body and put that body in Mary. That's why, and that body was called the Son. That is why the Son is Jesus. But yet, he was still the Father, and yet he's still the Holy Ghost. Because God's Spirit was in that body. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have said on the cross, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why hast thou forsaken me?" Uh-oh. So he is the Father, he's the Son, and he's the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to let, at this time, I'm going to let, matter of fact, hold on. I'm going to read this eighth verse. And then I'm going to let my the ones that are on the, anybody that has a question or a comment or anything, you can do that at that time in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read this eighth verse, and then I'm going to let ones comment in Jesus' name. But this eighth verse says, "And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one." Amen. Now, watch this. You need all three. You need all three to have a relationship with God. These three that bear witness, you need all three. You need his Spirit. You need to be washed. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name in water. And you need his blood to cover you. You need all three. That's why it says all three bear record on the earth. I'm going to let anybody that has a comment, a question, anything like that, let them come on in and let the Spirit of Life family come on in Jesus' name, and let anybody that has a comment, you can leave your comment at this time in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, Minister Tubbo. How are you, man of God?
I'm fine. How are you, sir?
Pretty good, pretty good. I was looking, and it was interesting because what Jesus Christ was asking his disciples, the same thing that many of us are being asked in our heart, is, who do you say that I am, right? And it's here in Matthew 16, right? And in Matthew 16, he says to them in verse 15, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And so when you see this clarity in Scripture. And you begin to understand that it's important for us to know who Jesus Christ is and to listen to what he is saying about himself in the Scripture. It gives us a type of authority to be able to stand on to say, you know what, this is what it is. And one of the things that I've discovered in studying the Bible and reading the Bible over the years is that the Bible usually says exactly what it means. And sometimes we have to get into deeper study of the Bible in the Greek and in the Hebrew, et cetera. But generally, when you read the Scripture, it'll tell you exactly what is being said. And this is one of those scriptures that is really, really clear to me. So I just wanted to share that and encourage you to keep going with your teaching and have a great day, man of God.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I thank God for the Word of God, first of all. I don't know everything. I barely know what I know, but it's all coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, what I know. It's me personally, and this is my own personal opinion. This is not, this is me talking off the record now, off the topic now. Without the Lord, I wouldn't know anything. And I've said this on the show before. I was in high school, actually in elementary school, middle school, high school, all three. I was diagnosed with a learning disability. And it was very, very hard for me in school. And I guess I'm telling this, I guess I'm going off the lesson real quick, but, and I'm telling this as a testimony. The things that I know about the Word of God, I the Lord has revealed it unto me, because I kid you not, when I first started reading the Bible for myself, I did not know a thing. I didn't know. I was reading words that I did. I'm like, wait a minute. And I would just read it just to read it. But now that I've gotten older, and not in the natural, but in the spirit, now that I've gotten older in the spirit, and now that I've gotten closer to the Lord in my walk with God, I've been able to understand the Word of God more. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm bragging on the Lord now. Because you're listening to a person that was diagnosed with a learning disability that was not supposed to graduate from high school. Amen. Came into high school with a fourth grade reading level. Yes, fourth grade reading level. Did not know how to read. So, I thank God for being able to understand. This is the Word of God is one of the things that, by the help of the Lord, I'm able to understand. Math and all that stuff, even some things that I've learned in school that I was supposed to learn in school, I didn't learn it in school. I learned it in the church. And I'm being so serious now. Amen. And this, I guess this is me being humbling myself in a way, because I don't take any credit for it. I don't take any credit for what I do know. Amen. But I want to look in the book of Ephesians, getting back to the lesson. I want to look at the book of Ephesians real quick, and then I'm going to we're going to dive deeper into this. In the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, I'm going to look and see what the book of Ephesians has to say about the identity of Christ. When we look at the book of Ephesians,
Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 4. And it reads, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called on, ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse number 5, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Verse number 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is the identity. This is part of the identity of Christ. These three verses are showing us another part of the identity of Christ. Now, what is the identity of Christ and the identity we must walk in? What is the identity of Christ? In a nutshell. In a nutshell, the identity of Christ is one word. One word. Holiness. Holiness. Well, two words, holiness and righteousness. But when you look in the Word of God, even in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you will find that God's identity is holiness, and it's holy. Holiness is what God's identity is. And that's the identity of Christ that he wants us to step into. Holiness, first salvation, then righteousness, then holiness. In that order. Salvation, righteousness, holiness. In that order. You cannot have holiness without righteousness. You cannot have righteousness without salvation. I want to go to 1 Thessalonians just to show you that holiness is the identity of Christ. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 7. Amen. And I pray that you're getting something out of this, because I love doing this. I love just talking about. I don't say preaching or teaching, because I love talking about the Word of God. To put it that way. Amen. But in First Thessalonians, chapter 4, chapter number 4, verse number 7, it reads, God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. God has not called us into uncleanness, but he has called us unto holiness. Uncleanness would be sin. Uncleanness would be your flesh. Uncleanness would be your standard in ways of living. The carnal mindset. The carnal mindset and the fleshly mindset that you came into the world with. He did not call us unto uncleanness, but he called us unto holiness. Amen. Now, you might say, well, Brother Adam, what is this, this holiness that he's talking about? The holiness of God. Well, let's go to 1 Peter. Why does he call us into holiness? Why? What is this holiness? Why does he call us into holiness? Okay, well, 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And it reads, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. This is the reason why he has called us unto holiness. Because he is holy. The identity of Christ is holiness. This is the identity of Christ. No matter how you want to look at it, the identity of Christ is holiness. Self-explanatory. He said, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. He's holy. He wants you to live in holiness. He told us to be holy, for he is holy. Now, you might say, well, this is only in the New Testament. No, it's not. I said earlier, the identity of Christ in the flesh and the identity of Christ in the spirit. The Old Testament was Christ concealed, and the New Testament is Christ revealed. Well, guess what? The holiness of God was concealed in the Old Testament, was talked about in the Old Testament too. Let's go to Leviticus. Leviticus 21 and 8. Let's go to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus will let us know. Will let us know how the Lord feels. Now this is his identity, showing us his identity in the spirit. Now watch this. It reads, thou shalt sanctify him, therefore, for he offereth the bread of thy God. He shall be holy unto thee. For I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. He shall be holy unto thee. For I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. Now, he went from in the spirit. He gave this to us in the Old Testament. And then he repeated himself in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Now, let's go to the book of Exodus. Let's go to the book of Exodus. Amen. Let's go to the book of Exodus, Exodus 19. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19, verse number 6. And it reads, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. He told us that we should be a holy nation. That's what he said.
That's what he was telling the children of Israel. That's what he's telling us. You don't think he's telling us that he was just only talking to the children of Israel? He wasn't just talking to the children of Israel. He was talking to us too. That's why the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. He going to heal the land. He going to make you a holy nation. And then watch this. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, we just read in Exodus chapter 19, verse number 6. Well, guess what? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he repeated himself. Amen. Christ concealed, Christ revealed. In First Peter, let's go there, and let's see what the Lord had to say there. In First Peter, amen. See, I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. First Peter chapter 2. Amen. First Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Amen. And it reads, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now he was talking about us being priests in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, didn't he? He said a holy nation. He talked about that in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, didn't he? And then he went on. He didn't just leave it at a holy nation, but he said, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he went on and declared that we should be a peculiar people, that ye shall show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is what we need to do. This is how we step into the identity of Christ. This is how we do that. Amen. So the question is, now that we see the identity of Christ, now that we know about the identity of Christ, now that we know who Christ is, now how do we step into the identity of Christ? How do we step into the identity of Christ to have a relationship with Christ? Well, I'll tell you. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Some people are like, oh, Lord, he going there. He going there again. He going to Acts chapter 2. Yep, sure am, because it's in the Word. Acts chapter 2. Now, there's two verses in Acts chapter 2. There's a couple of verses that I want to read in there to show you how to step into the identity of Christ. Because you cannot step into the identity of Christ without doing this. You can't. You cannot. Because there, and I say that so sternly, because this is the Word of God. I do not play around with it. We should not play around with it. And there was a lot of preachers that play around with how to receive the identity of Christ, how to receive a relationship with Christ. We about to break this thing down. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, we're going to read Acts chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4 real quick. And I know some people are saying, oh, man, he's talking about the Pentecost. Yep, because that's what happened. He said he'll pour out his spirit upon all flesh. His spirit is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now watch this.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There it is. There it is. There it is. Verse 3 and verse 4 show you what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost. Now, let's go to Acts 2 and 38. Because this is, it's simple. It's simple. It ain't, there's no, nothing. There's nothing else. How to receive a relationship with Christ, there's nothing else. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, then Peter said unto them, you got to do this to receive the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now watch this. I'm going to throw in there verse number 40 because the Lord wants me to throw verse number 40 in there. I don't know why. I don't know where he's getting ready to take this. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untorn generation. Save yourself. It's every man for themselves. If you want to be, if you want to step into the identity of Christ, you've got to do it the Bible way. And yes, I know that preachers tell you that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're saved. It says you shall be saved. It didn't say you were saved. It did not say that. It said you shall be saved. Matthew chapter 10, verse 9. It's in there. But how can you confess something that you don't have yet? Preachers, some preachers say, well, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, we believe that you're saved. Ain't had one bit of washing of sins, ain't been baptized yet, but you said, no, the Lord is not going to come in an unclean place. You still dirty. What? Hold on, wait a minute. You ain't been baptized in Jesus' name. You might have repented, but you haven't received, until you receive the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, you can't confess what you don't have. You can't confess something that you don't have. Let's go to, matter of fact, let's go there real quick. Because I want to show you something. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. I believe it's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Because I'm going to break this down. Some people may not believe it, but it's true. It's true. If thou, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be. It didn't say you were saved. It said, you shall be. But it said, if that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Okay, you confessing the Lord Jesus. What are you confessing? If you don't have a Holy Ghost, what are you confessing? Yeah, you can confess, oh, I got Jesus. Okay, until you get the Holy Ghost, you ain't got Jesus in you. This is what the Bible say. This is what the Bible says. Because I'm going to show you in the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. I'm going to go there. Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read it to you. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, which is, the Spirit of God is the Holy Ghost, which they did on the day of Pentecost. Okay, now watch this. Now, if any man, this means anybody, man, woman, boy, or girl, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you do not receive the Holy Ghost as they did on the day of Pentecost, you are none of his. This is what the Bible says. I'm not saying this is not from Minister Adam. This is not from, this is the Word of God. You cannot confess something that you don't have. You can say Jesus all day, but there's going to be a bunch of people that say, Lord, Lord, and won't enter in. There's a lot of people that say, I know Jesus. Yeah, you've read about Jesus. You know of him, but do you really know him? Do you know him in the pardon of your sins? And the only way your sins can be remitted is through repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 and 38 says that. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission. Remission means removal of your sins. Do you know him in the pardon of your sins? Because if you don't know him in the pardon of your sins, if you do not know of him in the pardon of your sins, you cannot confess. Now, you can confess all day, I know Jesus. But God looks at the heart of a man. And if you can't, and if you come to Jesus, the Bible says, now, I hear a lot of people say, God knows my heart, and I'm getting ready to go there. The Lord has taken me there in these last few minutes. The Lord has taken me there, and I'm getting ready to go there because the Lord is commissioning me to go. If you come to Jesus with the same heart that you were born with, and you say, God knows my heart, you know, you keep on, you keep, and I'm talking to, I'm not talking to a person that generally wants God to be in their life. I'm talking to a person that is, that you know, you calling yourself saved, but yet you live in foul. That's not that, no. You have a form of godliness, but you have denied the power thereof. Somewhere down the line, you have lost your identity of Christ. And I'm just speaking truth. Somewhere you have lost your identity of Christ. You have stepped out of the identity of Christ. I do not shake nor tremble when I say it. You cannot confess something that you don't have, and you cannot confess. And you might say, well, once saved, always saved.
Was it?
Don't work that way.
No,
it don't work that way either. If one saved, always saved, if you live in holy. But if you live in foul, if you live in foul and you live in an ungodly life calling yourself saved, the Spirit of God will leave because the Spirit of God don't dwell in the unclean place. Light and darkness have no fellowship. You cannot mix sweet, bitter, and sweet in the same vessel. You can't do it. It either needs to be bitter or it needs to be sweet. That's what it is. That's the way it is. And let me say it like this. You might say, well, I smoke, I drink, but I'm still saved because, you know, the Lord is blessing me. The Lord is doing this. The Lord is giving me a new car and a new house. Guess what, honey? Just because you get a new car and a new house don't make you saved. It does not make you saved. Just because a person leaps in, they can run around the church and they can go through leaps and bounds, that does not make them saved. Well, I caught the Holy Ghost. Why would you want to catch the Holy Ghost? The Bible says receive the Holy Ghost. It don't say catch it, because you could drop it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, it lets us know that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Amen. And you might say, well, that was for the people of the day of Pentecost. That wasn't for me. That was all Jews. I don't have to be saved that way. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48, the house of Cornelius was baptized in Jesus' name. And they were not Jews. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. So the same way the house of Cornelius did it, the same way the day of Pentecost, the same way it was done on the day of Pentecost, is the same way we need to do it now. If it was holiness then, it's holiness now. If it's righteousness, if it's righteous and holy living then, it's righteous and holy living now. You cannot walk on two sides of the street at the same time. You got to pick a side. You got to pick a side. We all have to pick a side. We all do. With the identity of Christ, we are able to submit to God and have benefits in him. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, this is submission unto God. Submission. It lets us know about the submission that we need to do. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a what? Living sacrifice. Holy, and there you go, with the word holy. Holy and acceptable unto God. Not unto man, not unto Minister Adam, not unto Bishop Cook, not unto Bishop Carver, but unto God. Not unto the Spirit Alive Network, not unto Blog Talk Radio, not unto anybody but God. You got to be holy. That's why I said the identity of Christ is holiness. It's righteousness. But you cannot step into righteousness and holiness without salvation. And the salvation is found underneath the repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and being filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost.
You doing better?
There is no other way. The Bible says there is no name given among men whereby we must be saved. The name is Jesus. Colossians 3 and 17 states that whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We got to do it. We have to do it that way. With the identity of Christ, we are able to submit to God and have benefits in Him. In Psalms 91, it tells us about the benefits of God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. That's a benefit. When you come unto the knowledge of the identity of Christ, when you fall, when you step into the identity of Christ, to have that relationship with God, when you have that relationship with God, you are now in the secret place. You now have the benefits of God. You have now taken on God's name through baptism. And I'm going to use this example, and we're getting ready to stop. And I'm going to use this example. When I was born, I took on my father's last name. And in the midst of me taking on my father's last name, every benefit that was given unto my father and every benefit that he brought through as I was growing up underneath his roof, I received those same benefits. Why? Because I have his name. I have my and I'm talking about my natural father. I have my father's name. I have my father's last name. So therefore, I have the benefit. I have the full package. I got the full benefits of my father's last name. But guess what? There are people out there in the world that do not have the full benefits of God because they are living beneath their privileges. We've had friends come over to our house to spend the night. They didn't receive the full benefits of my father, but they received some of the benefits for spending the night. What type of benefits did they receive? They received a meal that night. They received shelter that night. The meals that my father, the money that my father paid out for meals and brought into the house, and we had friends over, they were able to eat of that food. That's a benefit. But they were still, they didn't live in the house. They weren't, that wasn't my father's child. Amen. That wasn't his child. But yet they received some of the benefits of my father because they were in the house. But some people are living beneath their privilege because they have not received the name. They have not been sealed by the name of Jesus Christ. And we have talked about it. Acts 2 and 38 lets us know how to receive the benefits of Christ. And the only way to receive the benefits of Christ is to receive the identity of Christ. You receive the identity of Christ, you'll have a relationship with Christ in Jesus' name. I pray that you have received something from this topic on today, the identity of Christ. And I pray that you have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. I'm getting ready to head on out and go spend time with my family. But I pray that you have a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. Have a very, very blessed week in Jesus' name. And until next weekend, this is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. It is our fervent prayer, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, it is our fervent prayer that you be transformed in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and I'm going to add something to that, if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you in Jesus' name.
Well,
you didn't even say that.
No, I know. And so I just read it. I just went to the scripture and I said, yeah. I said normally when the Bible speaks, it's very explanatory. So we will reel it back in.
Yeah, definitely.
Good word.
You going to church first?